Hi, everyone. Hi, Andreas.
Jane, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm Jane Ray and my podcast partner,
Andreas Stein.
And welcome to season two of Joyous Journeys Over 60. We're going to do something a little different this season. Huh?
Different is good, right?
Yeah, we're going to do it as a video podcast. So you get to see the faces.
That's a scary part, though.
it is. But, you know, I think our first season, we touched on a lot of really great topics.
I think so.
But we were faceless. And
we were faceless indeed.
We were faceless, maybe a little anonymous of sorts. So for this season, you know, we want to start the season by doing a series of myth busting.
Yeah.
There are so many myths about people over the age of 60. And we feel that while some of the topics we talked about in season one were important and relevant, I think kicking off season two by busting some of those myths, some of those stereotypes of who you are, what your life is going to be like after you retire,
right,
is important because there's a lot of feelings that are right. associated with it. And I know being over 60 myself, that there are a lot of preconceptions about who I am, what I should be doing, what color my hair is going to be, which, as you can tell, is so far not gray. But I think that, you know, from our family, from our friends, from people you meet, just in general, our culture tends to treat senior citizens as if we're somehow, I don't know, less smart, less capable, technically incompetent, you know, on a cognitive decline. I mean, there's so many beliefs, some of which may be true. I mean, some of which may be true for individuals, but not generally true for everybody right. within this stage of your life. So so our journeys to start off season two are going to be about busting some of those myths.
See, the power of a myth is I believe it. I don't question it. And then I find that in my own life, in my own journey, things might be different than what that myth is telling me. And then I figure what's wrong. What's wrong with me? What's wrong? And I have to bring these two things together, my own experience, my own journey. And then I have this myth that is trying to set me on a completely different journey, and I need to figure out what's right, what's wrong. And busting these myths can be truly a liberating, freeing experience, because your journey might be completely different than this myth that you have internalized, and it is your journey and your journey alone that matters, not what that myth is trying to tell you, how things should or shouldn't be, what will or will not happen.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, part of it is culture, right? How people of an age are portrayed in TV shows or movies or, again, on the good and the bad side. I mean, we see one of my favorite actresses is Helen Mirren. I love Helen Mirren, right? And she has aged very, very gracefully. Diane Keaton was another actress that I really loved. Unfortunately, she passed away recently. But she also kind of busted some of the myths about, you know, people in their late 70s. She passed away at 79. Helen Mirren is over 80. And you see some of these personalities. On the other hand, you know, you see situation comedies where grandma comes to live with you and, you know, she's sitting around and she can't drive and she doesn't know how to work a computer. And so it goes on both sides of the equation in terms of what the stereotype is. And I think that we don't want to be stereotyped, particularly those of us that are now considered seniors, that, you know, you think about our history. We're the Woodstock generation, right?
Did you go to Woodstock?
I didn't. I was invited to Woodstock, but I was 14 years old and my parents said no. And they were probably pretty smart to say no because I lived in New York and nobody really understood.
You were just an hour away from Woodstock.
An hour away. And I had some friends I knew that were going that were older than I was. And they invited me and my parents, again, nobody knew what it was or what it was going to be. But, you know, we grew up in a very a turbulent time. A lot of civil rights riots, the Vietnam War was going on, rock and roll. So there were so many things that shaped us. But I think the one thing that shaped us was the ability to be free thinkers, regardless of what you thought, and that we were not going to be pigeonholed into a certain stereotype. And unfortunately, you know, stereotypes exist.
Right.
And with that comes, particularly from younger people, you know, this belief system that once you reach a certain age, particularly once you retire and you're no longer a productive worker, that, you know, somehow you're no longer capable. And you're treated differently. I mean, people treat senior citizens like children, and that just frustrates me because we've lived a whole life.
Right. So what is the myth that we bust today?
So today we're going to start with the biggest myth of all. And sometimes I think it's an internal myth.
Okay.
And the myth is first you retire and then you die.
You retire, then you die.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of
people. There's some time in between, though, right? Usually, right? It doesn't happen like overnight. I hope not.
Hopefully. But there are people that are afraid to retire.
Because they are afraid when they retire, tomorrow I'll be 6 feet under.
Exactly. That between retirement and death, there is nothing else. And look, let's be honest. We're all going to die. I mean, that's a fact of life, right?
That's a fact
we can
of life.
Fact check that one. That there is a fact of life that we're all going to die. But there are many, many people, and I know several people that are afraid to retire because they are afraid that once they retire, they die. I know people that work into their late 80s for just that reason. And their family will say, well, you know, if he or she retired, oh, they would die.
So what if you have a friend, Jane, you said you know several people, and that person, he or she tells you, listen, if I don't keep going, if I don't keep working, I'll be gone. I'll be dead. What do you tell that person?
Well, hopefully, you know, this chapter of your life is a chapter of freedom, right? Where you are no longer tethered to the rules, to the routines that are dictated by somebody else, usually your employer. And so this is a season of freedom. Now we're going to talk about in other episodes, what do you do with that?
Right.
And one of the myths that, you know, that retirement is one long vacation because it isn't, but, you know, understanding that there is life after retirement, and that preparing for that life after retirement, starting to think about, okay, well, how do you want to fill up this freedom? Right? Because freedom could be scary. It could be so open-ended that you don't know what to do with it. Or it could be, well, I'm going to play golf, you know, 12 times a month, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And so there's realistic and unrealistic expectations of what life after working is going to be like. So if you're not retired yet and you're in that kind of pre-retirement stage, starting to think about what new hobbies, what new activities, what new communities. I mean, now's a very good time to think about that. And unfortunately, from a feelings perspective, you know, the I retire and I die is very much a deep feeling. Right. And so overcoming or dealing with or facing those feelings now, if I retire, I'm suddenly old.
Well, I think if this myth, you know, if I retire or die, you know, if I keep working, somehow this keeps me connected to, you know, these years when I was younger, when I didn't have to think about death and dying, I keep doing what I've been doing. I love what I'm doing. It's not just that I'm staying busy, but, you know, this is giving me purpose. This is giving me a reason to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning. This gives me a reason to go to bed reasonably early because I need to get up at 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, and it just really connects me to that thing that sustained my life for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. And now that stops, that's scary. I'll die. I'm going to die. I mean, it's what would you tell a person who says, I love what I'm doing. It gives me purpose. It gives me everything. And why do you want me to stop that?
Well, I didn't retire at 65. I retired at 68. So I understand that at 65, I wasn't ready.
Did you love what you were doing?
I did love what I was doing. And it gave me a lifestyle. And I was very blessed that I had the type of career that also gave me an opportunity to travel. It gave me a lifestyle. And truthfully, I didn't have that many hobbies. I mean, work was my hobby. And so it was scary for me because I didn't know how I was going to fill up my time. And we've talked about it last season, and I we're going to talk about it more. It was a very big part of my identity. It was a very big part of my lifestyle. I don't craft. I didn't play golf. I recently picked up some activities, but I didn't have a plan, an emotional plan, right? Everybody has a financial plan, but developing an emotional plan. The other thing I think that's important is, you know, first I retire, then I die. In between that, really the sub message, if you want to consider that, is first I retire, then I'm old.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
Did you ever regret retiring?
Never.
Do you miss the work you were doing?
For the first year, I did. For the first year, I had built such a routine, and maybe you do too, if you're listening, that I got up every morning, I had my coffee, I read my emails, I worked from home. I was very lucky for the last several years of my career. If you worked in an office, you got up, you got dressed, you took a shower, if you're a woman, put on your makeup. There was a certain comfort in that routine. And I did love what I did. And so my day felt very productive. And there were frustrating days. I mean, believe me, it was not all, you know, a smooth, you know, no problem type of job. But when I retired, for that first year, I felt like I didn't have friends anymore because we had moved and most of my friends were remote workers, colleagues. But I never really felt like I regretted retirement, with one caveat. I owned a company, so part of my retirement is the company got sold. I wasn't the sole owner. I did try to fill it with other work. I tried to do this volunteer work with an amazing organization that mentors people who own a business. And I thought that would be very fulfilling for me. And I regret that it wasn't. I just felt like I was still working. And there was a part of my, I don't know if you want to call it spirit, that wanted the freedom of retiring and not still be working. So I was kind of at this crossroads, right? Where part of me thought, oh, I really still want to work because I'll do this volunteer work. And I found myself on conference calls and meetings and things like that. And that's what I was rejecting. I didn't want to spend my days on conference calls. And so it was a crossroad, which I had to decide which, you know, the road not taken, right? Which road I was going to take. And it took about a year to finally find something that gave me fulfillment to the point that I don't want to work right now. I mean, the podcast is not work. It's fun.
So if you compare your life today to maybe the 2 or 3 years preceding your retirement, would you say I enjoy my life today more than then? Well, how do you? I know it's hard sometimes to compare different chapters of life because there's a lot of different variables or a lot of different aspects. But if you compare like today versus the last years preceding, how does it measure up?
Well, and that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. For me, I ended a chapter, and that chapter was amazing. But guess what? This chapter is pretty amazing too. And I said, it took about a year for me to find the amazing part, right? And it isn't
took
just-
took you a year to find the amazing part.
Or to feel amazing about it, right? There was this transition where, you kind of feel like you're unbalanced, right? That you knew who you were, you're excited, scared. There's so many emotions that happen during this period of time where you're trying to kind of work your way into the next chapter. But the next chapter for me was not going to be, I retire, then I die.
So in essence, so you had a big retirement party? Is that how it played out? Retirement party?
I had no retirement party.
So how did your retirement practically look? Like you just one day just didn't show up anymore?
The company got sold and that was the end of it for me. And unfortunately, that was not a good period of time. It really wasn't. It was some people retire because they get forced into taking a package from their company, right? It isn't like, okay, I pick the day, right? I pick the day. We're going to have a cake. I'm going to get a virtual gold watch, right? It, you know, my husband had that, right? He picked his day and he didn't get a gold watch, but they had a cake for him and the whole thing. For me, it was, I knew it was coming because, again, there's a process that's associated with selling a company, but it was like one day I had it and the next day I didn't.
So it's a little, that myth is a little bit like almost like the, you know, the final meal of a prisoner before execution, right? You get this, hey, eat whatever you would like. We'll give you the biggest feast, you know, and because an hour later, that's it. You're done. You know, sometimes this myth almost creates retirement almost like this date set for execution. Here is the last hurrah. You know, here's the last cake, the last whatever. Right. And now it's over.
And now you're no longer a part of it.
Now there is a big nothing.
But I think a lot of the feelings are also about aging. It isn't, I mean, yes, death is hanging over you. There's no, I mean, we can't deny that. Right. I mean, you know, we could not have this conversation without realizing that you're not in the first chapter. You know, you are in the closer to the last chapter than you are in the first chapter. But it also affects your thinking about aging. Am I old? Chronologically, I am. Right. Chronologically, I am considered to be old. Older. Mentally, I still feel, you know, like I'm in my 30s, right? But I look in the mirror and I see a wrinkle here and a wrinkle here. And, you know, I look at my face and I go, oh, that's not the face I grew up with. And so there's a whole psychology that comes down to, and that's part of the myth, right? Where you, again, you can kind of go in either direction depending on where you want to choose that. The myth is, I'm going to embrace my next chapter, but I'm going to embrace my aging body. I'm going to embrace where I am today. I'm going to be proud of what I've accomplished, right? But it's not over, right? You know, we say for the podcast, the tagline, you retired from your job, not from your life. So it's not like you retire and then you die, or you retire and suddenly you're old and you start knitting and, you know, you're physically incapable or whatever. You know, there's a pathway there.
But I think I understand why this is where this myth is coming from, right? Let's say you graduate from college. You have, I don't know, any number of chapters and seasons of life ahead of you. Yes, tragedies can happen, but let's assume life is somewhat the normal pattern. There is tons of chapters. So even if the next chapter may not be exactly what you'd hoped for, hey, the next chapter will come along. But now you are challenged to embrace that one chapter that will take you to the one point we don't want to get to, which is we're leaving. Death is there. And that takes, I rather avoid that chapter as long as I stay connected to work. I have this, all right, I'm not in the final chapter that will take me to, you know, where there is still maybe something else coming. That takes a lot of courage. A lot of strength, a lot of confidence, sometimes even a lot of faith to say, I embrace with all of my being this chapter that I know exactly will take me to a point that I would much rather avoid, period.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. And, you know, again, you know, the image of the Grim Reaper and all of that. But do you want to waste this precious time? When in your life, really, when in your life did you have the freedom to decide,
right?
To decide what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. Of course, you know, if you have family or you're married or you have a partner, there's influence there. But basically, you decide, right? Freedom. You've worked your whole life for this freedom. Right. Do you want to waste that?
Right.
Worrying about the end.
Because that end will come whether you retire or not, right? I mean, it's not like there is a choice. If I avoid retirement, that date is not coming. But if I retire, no, of course, we know. I mean, one out of one person is going to die. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the choice I have is not so much about avoiding that, but how do I want this last chapter to really look like? Do I want it to be the mountain peak that I climb and enjoy the greatest view ever? And can that last chapter be actually something like that, like climbing to the Mount Everest to the peak, and I enjoy the most breathtaking view ever? Or is this last chapter going to be like muddying through, through the Everglades, muddying through the swamp, and just trying to make one step after another? And with every step, it gets harder and heavier and more frustrating. So the choice is, you know, I think the myth is that last chapter can be climbing to the peak and enjoying the grandest view ever. It does not have to be, you know, that that swamp where one step is heavier than the previous one, and you just try to keep moving forward because you have to keep moving forward. It's going to be the greatest chapter of the journey.
Absolutely. And it is a journey, right? It is a journey. And I think a big part of this is that, you know, we talk about travel and we talk about activities and we talk about this. Your definition of freedom may be planting a garden. It may be waking up in the morning and going for a walk. It may be spending time with children or grandchildren. It could be whatever you want it to be, right? You want this, because we call it the last chapter, but how long could the last chapter be? 30 years? Maybe, right? Maybe. Could be 5 years, right? Doesn't matter. We don't know. The one thing we don't know is when that day is coming. So don't you want this time, this precious, precious time that you worked your whole life for, to be what you want it to be? And it doesn't have to be some big, grand, expensive, you know, something that they would write stories about you for. No, it could be very simple. It could be very quiet, or it could be very loud and exciting. It's what you want this chapter to be. And, you know, last season we talked about you just being you. All of that freedom can be exciting, could also be a little scary. And so I think just realizing that you don't have to think old, right? And you don't have to think end. You need to think embracing the fact that you've earned the right to be where you are today. And you can make the most of what you've earned. And I'm not talking financial earned, right? You've raised families, you've perhaps been married, you've worked really hard, you've struggled, you've had joy, you've earned the right to be where you are today. So make the most of it, right? Whatever that means to you. And maybe you have to think about it a little bit, right? Maybe you're not sure. I said, it took me a year to be able to figure out who I was going to be in this chapter. Take your time and think about it, but don't waste it.
You know, and the big advantage you have today, you know, when you kind of were towards the beginning chapters, you know, yes, you received your education, you learned, you figured these things out, but you had really no experience to draw from, you know. And we all know that the things that allow us to succeed and enjoy life very many often are the lessons of experience. yeah, you've been there, kind of, you know. Now you have this experience looking back. You know what has worked for you. You know what didn't work out well. And all of that experience will truly allow you to transform this last chapter, not kind of the downhill slide just fading out, but to transform this chapter to the climb up to the peak of Mount Everest, to the greatest point ever. And you enjoy the greatest views ever. And you reach a point in that journey that is incomparable to whatever was before, because it is going to be the greatest chapter in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we call this Joyous Journeys Over 60. And it's because it's a journey. And every episode we're going to do this season, we're going to invite you on the journey, because it has a start. Every journey, right, has a start and an end. But it's what you do in between those two that really matter, right? And it's how you feel, right? Because I think how you feel, how you project yourself, how you internalize that. And it's not like this. It's not straight, right? It goes a little bit like this, right? We did an episode last season, some days rock, some days reap. And there's a certain truth to that. But again, I can't say this enough. You've earned the right to have the freedom so that first you retire, then you do a whole bunch of stuff that you really have always wanted to do, whatever it is, right? You've defined a new chapter of your life according to your rules, and then maybe you die, right?
So the myth that we are busting is, you know, today I retire, tomorrow I die. The myth you're busting, it's not the last chapter of your life. It's the best chapter of your life.
It's this chapter of your life, because you don't know how many other chapters you may have, right? There may be other chapters or sub-chapters that happen here. It's this chapter, right? All we have is now.
Right.
Right. That's all we have is now. Whether you're struggling with medical issues, whether you're hopefully physically fit, mentally feeling good, and maybe mentally struggling a little bit. All you have is now.
Right.
And don't waste it, right? Don't waste it. So, Mr. Mythbuster.
I just love learning from your experience, Jane, because you have lived through many of these chapters and you are embracing what you have today and really turning it into the mountain peak, into you're on the summit, you're on top.
Yeah, and just so that everybody knows, Andreas is not yet at the 60s. So
I wish to be at the 60s, but you know, the idea of retirement is, yeah, I think I could warm up to that.
And if you're not yet at retirement, you know, I learned a new term called pre-retirement. Start envisioning, right? Start envisioning, what do I want my life to look like? And yeah, initially you may say, oh, I'm going to play golf, you know, five times a week. Okay, that's probably maybe realistic for some, maybe unrealistic for some, but start feeling the excitement of This is a good chapter that's about to happen. It is not first I retire, then I die. There's a whole lot, hopefully, for you in between the two. Andreas, as always, it's a pleasure.
It is truly enjoyable to talk to you and with you.
And for those of you who are listening, thank you for joining us on our journey today. I'm Jane Ray.
Andreas Stein.
And welcome to Joyous Journeys Over 60.